Welcome to Dungeons and Demogorgons, the officially unofficial podcast for Stranger Things on Netflix. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 3, Episode 2, The Mallrats. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I hid an Easter egg in our first episode podcast.
Is it a rat?
Hold on, I'm really thirsty.
Oh, Jim's drinking from New Coke.
I feel like they made a mistake.
I feel like you're going to burst into pink goo in about 15 minutes.
Yeah. High fructose corn syrup does that to me. New Coke. They were selling cans of New Coke on some special like tie-in website that Coke has. Mm-hmm. I figured I'd pick a couple
Stranger
up.
Coke.
Stranger Coke.
.com.
It is Stranger. It's different from regular Coke.
So the knock that I heard, so if you you want to talk about some New Coke before we talk about this episode? I'm sure people are riveted by the New Coke discussion.
Well, I mean, it's a thing in Stranger Things.
And I lived through this. I was like, I was like 10 years old, that I guess Pepsi was a choice of a new generation. It was landing a lot of big shots and it set Michael Jackson on fire and a bunch of things. And like Coke started to get worried that people were preferring like Pepsi to Coke and like blind taste tests. So New Coke is formulated to taste more like Pepsi.
And as soon as I
popped mine open and drank it, I'm like, yep, which is why I don't like it because I like Coke over Pepsi.
Okay. See, I'm the other way around. I like Diet Coke better than Diet Pepsi, but regular Coke I don't like as
what
much as
regular
Pepsi.
What is the Pepsi got? It's like almost like a cinnamon kind of after. It's like there's
it's
something
less acidic.
There.
It tastes less acidic to me, which is one thing that I like about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this does have like a less acidic, less punch of Coke, of the flavor you think of as Coke.
I wonder if were they making Coke with high fructose corn syrup back in 85 or were they
so
still...
that was the switch. So when they came back,
I heard that too. That they
and they did
from,
the original. Yeah, they switched it from cane sugar to.
Yeah. I honestly can't tell a big difference. I've tried the Mexican Cokes,
really,
but like back to back Coke, and I have a hard time telling a difference.
I can definitely tell there's a difference to it, and Mexicoke, as most people call it, I think, tastes better to me. But
Well, I'd very rarely drink fully leaded anything. It's almost all diet. So
yeah, me too.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about the episode.
This is your new Coke talk. We'll see you in the next episode. What'd you think of this episode, Jim?
I liked it. I think it was a lot of fun in places. Like when the girls' day out was awesome.
Yes.
I liked actually all of the relationship stuff that they were doing with the kids. Lucas's advice to Mike and their quest in complete vain to try and find a gift for Elle. All that stuff was great. And it seems like this was sort of the initial flashpoint for Max and Elle's relationship.
Yeah.
Like they didn't seem to be friends before this.
They were probably friendly, but you know, because they were in the D&D group together and they've obviously hanged together as a group. But I do think this is obviously the first time Elle's actually came up to
well,
me like,
wasn't
you
allowed
and I,
to.
We need
so,
to talk.
I mean, the end of season two, before the ball and everything, like Elle walks in the door and Mike is like, oh God, Elle's back. And Max is like, oh no, Elle's back. Doesn't know how to feel about it. And then they just kind of flash forward to the ball and there's no real hint of a relationship there between the two girls.
But it's been six more months and they're kids. I mean, that's a long time and kids.
Yeah,
So, but I think you're right.
But
you're
Elle's not allowed to go out. It's like
you're seeing the first time that they're actually hanging one on one and becoming friends, getting to know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also Elle, like she speaks with that weird kind of like a stilted English. Like I think she's just she's continuing to come out of her shell.
And she has a 45-year-old mustachioed man's taste in clothes.
Yes, yes.
And hairstyles.
Right, right.
Really liking her look at the end.
Yeah,
it's much better.
Yeah, looks. What did Hopper say? Modern or what?
Yeah.
Cutting edge.
Cutting edge.
Looks
it's a cutting edge look.
Cutting edge. And then poor Hopper getting stood up by Joyce. Sudden love of electromagnetism.
Yeah.
Looks like you're onto something with like whatever the Russians are doing with the portal field technology might be flipping the poles of the whole fucking planet, or maybe it's localized to Hawkins.
Or local, yeah, because we find out in this episode it's the Russians are probably nearby, maybe in the mall, maybe under the mall.
So here's the thing. This is a well-worn Stranger Things trope where the kids take like a childish understanding of the world and a naive look, and I will put Steve in this category for this and whoever I forget, is it Robin? Is that the new Chips Ahoy girl? I'll put them in the category because they're just like you know, like he kneels by this horse and is playing the same song. And then they're like, well, maybe they have these horses in Russia. And he slaps a side that says Hawkins or
Indiana Rider or
Indiana
something.
Indiana Flyer. And he goes, I don't think so. And I'm like, yeah, do you really think that these are like manufactured for Indiana and they cannot leave in like this isn't something a manufacturer and they just stamp whatever's on the control panel? Like,
yeah, and isn't it a recognizable song? I thought.
Oh, yeah, it's.
Yeah, I thought the song
something
was extremely familiar to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I'm half crazy over the sun.
Yeah, the what are you going to do? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't remember the chorus, but it's like an old kid song.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting, but it's like Stranger Things does this a lot where the kids have this childish understanding of something that's bigger than them and it maps onto something they can immediately understand, and that metaphor works perfect.
I like it. It's maybe too cute, but
I like it, but that's the thing is like that's the first two times they pulled it off is really, really fresh and original and interesting, and now it's almost like it feels like it might be stretching a bit to be like it's almost too convenient. Like, how the fuck is he recording encoded messages by this fucking merry-go-round? In the middle of the mall? Is that really what they're suggesting here?
I think so.
Because I think that's wrong, but it's going to be proved out. It's going to point them in the right direction. But there's there's a lot of like frustrating near misses in this episode, and I'm not sure if this is going to be a season-wide thing or if they're just building up tension. Like, for example, Nancy telling Jonathan to leave right before the most interesting thing that could happen to that rat.
Yeah.
They're also doing a lot of things around like Billy where they'll end in like a cliffhanger of him doing something menacing, and then we have to rewind in the past to see what actually happened. Mm-hmm. And they are also doing things like he kills Miss Wheeler, and then they immediately say, oh, that was just a fantasy that he was having because of the heat-induced interdimensional stress or whatever. I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of that because I feel like I'm getting jerked around temporally. The same kind of thing happened where like Hopper I was talking to Mike last episode, and he's like, if you listen to me very carefully, I might let you continue to date my daughter. But we don't get to see that conversation. And then he recounts to Lucas, but not really. Like, we don't know what restrictions they're under. We don't know exactly what Hopper says. And I'm like, what? I'm not sure if this is serving a narrative purpose.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I know that the sort of flashes of hallucination stuff is like a visual motif with Billy, right?
For sure.
That's what they're doing. But yeah, like the sort of dead ends to scenes that are then later sort of implied
Or they
retroactively.
Have to backpedal to like give you a flashback of what happened. Some
yeah,
of that
I
might
think it's
be
different. I think it's different than the first two seasons for sure.
And some of that might be like you suggested, like Billy, they're trying to put you in like the condition of Billy, you know, that you don't really know what's going on. And you know, this is like a cinematic technique just as much as overexposing the film when he's looking out from his eyes and being overwhelmed by the sun and all that. And then maybe that's right. But I'm just saying, like, this is like the third time something like that's happened. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to be, because what's happening as I'm watching is I feel like I missed something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like confused and disoriented. And like, maybe that's something they're trying to do. But I kind of hope they tone it down going forward.
Yeah, could be. It was interesting, too, that like Billy has gotten the last shot of both of these first episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They're really playing the horror almost entirely through Billy. A little bit through Will, but the main channel is Billy.
I was gratified that as soon as Billy got out of that, whatever the place where he was, he immediately ran to a phone booth and called 911. Like I'm like, why would a guy like Billy, if you get jumped by some monster?
I saw a monster,
Yeah, and he was going to do it, but then the Upside Down had other plans. What do you make of the shadow citizenry of Hawkins marching in the streets of the Upside Down?
I mean, and Billy telling Billy to build this, like, build what you see. I think the mind flayer or whatever has possessed Billy here from the Upside Down wants him to spread whatever infection he's come down with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's why he takes the lifeguard over to essentially offers this lifeguard up as a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine we see her come back as, you know, a pod person, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to worry about Mrs. Wheeler.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm wondering, like, mechanically, when, like, so what Billy comes out of that building? Is he, like, because we saw in the disjointed flashbacks that, like, some kind of face hugger is jumped on him and probably shot something to his body. Interestingly enough, it looks like the rat in the cage its final, once it exploded and recombined, it looked like one of those facehuggers too. I wonder if it's going to attack that old woman.
Yeah, probably.
And I wonder if like these rats, like, because I thought maybe the rats were all going to pool together into one giant creature, but maybe they're suggesting that they're actually going to go their separate ways and find Hawkins citizens and
some
and
hosts. It,
yeah, it's very, you know, like you said, when we were watching, it's like it's very Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely what they're going for with this copy of Billy.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. What else we want to?
I mean, one of the big
I have
reveals,
a whole bunch of random, because this episode has a whole bunch of random kind of Indiana things I want to talk about. But
yeah, one of the things I think they're spooling out pretty well is the effect of the mall on this town. Because you saw in the first episode, I was like, man, the general store here is looking kind of shitty.
Yeah,
it's
and
not,
everything's 50% off. Like,
yeah, and the shelves
no
are almost
staff
bare
anymore. It's just Joyce in there trying to. Yeah,
yeah, and it seems like that was, you know, entirely the point. And they make it more clear in this episode with the protesters,
right?
With the mayor talking about how they're pissed off because it's closed down shops, mom and pops. That I think they're doing a really good job selling to me.
Are you somewhat surprised that Hopper, primed to stand up to the mayor, ended up going along with him just because
of the technicality, right? Like that doesn't seem like
Hopper would be like, you know what, fuck you. Like,
yeah, I'm weirded out by Hopper this season so far.
It's like what's like Sheriff Bullock said in the Deadwood movie. Like, my job is to interpret to law and then enforce it. Like,
yeah.
Hopper's job is not to take whatever, you know, mayor Carrie's advice is. It's to, like, you know, I just thought it made him a little bit more of a bootlicker than I was expecting.
Yeah, and he hasn't been that in previous seasons.
No, but as you pointed out last season or last episode, this does appear to be a season of change for Hopper. So yeah, maybe some of this stuff is all of a piece, like the struggles he's going with, the trying to figure out what it means to be a father and how to let go and give your teenage daughter more freedom. Like, what's the line in small town? Not date Joyce. It turns out. I like how they're because this is still, like you said, 8 or 9 months after last season. That is, you know, they did portray Joyce as that she really was in love with Bob. I mean, that was only like a 1 year long relationship, but
yeah.
You know, Bob's a hell of a guy. I like that they're showing, you know, it's not that Joyce doesn't like Hopper. It's just that she's not quite ready. Like, as we saw last episode, she's not quite ready to let go of Bob. And then also, is it in Joyce's character to, I guess it is, because she went crazy with all the experimentation and stuff. Is she concerned that something weird is happening, or is this I couldn't quite figure out why she went all in. Like the next time we see her, she's reading like 11 college level physics books on electromagnetism, and then she's everything is interesting and entertaining, but I wondered, like, does it seem like a Joyce Breyer thing to do this? Like, yes, if Will's missing, she would do whatever it takes,
absolutely,
but just to satisfy her own idle curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, it might have made more sense just to have the teacher
discover
it himself. But I don't know, I mean, I try and think of like what I would do in the situation, and if magnets just weren't working,
right,
I would absolutely know that was weird,
especially if like your
but I wouldn't
son
know what to do
had been abducted over two separate years,
all the shit she's seen,
based on, and it was always based on flickering lights and weird kind of maybe electromagnetic shit. So but it's weird that like that's the obvious motivation, but I'm not getting anything from Joyce herself that says, it's almost like the way they're filming this is she's opening up her curiosity door.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
That's weird to me.
It's almost like they needed Will to, you know, scratch the back of his neck in her presence and her
to
take
tie
note
it together, and then her instead of
and
being,
then the weirdness all comes back to Will.
Because also like when she's talking to the science teacher, it's not like I'm urgent, I'm on, I need, it's more of like just like she's talking to Mr. Wizard and he's giving her what she wants to hear. It's a little weird.
Speaking of weird,
yes,
a couple of songs that I noticed, I figured they would probably go with these artists at some point this season because they were huge
in
1985. Weird Al, got mm-hmm. actually one of his songs in there.
Yep.
My Bologna, which is take on My Sharona.
It's so funny because until you pointed it out, and no, until it got to the My Bologna, I actually thought it was My Sharona.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they sound almost identical.
Yeah, I mean, that's Weird Al's thing.
Yeah, parody. And then they played Madonna's Material Girl, mm-hmm. which
was
perfect for the mall.
Yeah, 11 and Max rampaging through the mall, trying on looks.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret, Hush Hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
What did you think about the triumvirate forming around Scoopsa Ahoy Girl, which I think his name is Robin.
Yeah.
And Steve and Dustin.
This is a little hard for me to swallow that somebody who knows French and Italian and Spanish and English would have any insight into a Cyrillic alphabet.
Yeah, it does feel like almost... And also,
is that
what it's
called? Cyrillic?
Well, yeah, it is. But like my thing is like, why, if you're listening to a recording, why is it important to get... Because like, wouldn't a Russian-English dictionary be a fun... It doesn't have like the English phrase and then the Cyrillic alphabet, right? It would have like...
There's probably still some phonetic stuff. I mean, I don't know enough about language to...
Right.
To tell you.
But. Right. Like, you know, I don't know. I wonder how... I just feel like it'd be spelled out kind of phonetically, kind of like... You know, when you see Russian dialogue translated, like when they, well, I don't know, maybe I was just trying to think of like how they did on Chernobyl, but of course they weren't speaking Russian on Chernobyl.
Right.
And when they were, translating to English, they weren't translating to Cyrillic. So and also did she not say that she was banned for 12 years?
She did.
Is she 24 years old? She's failed. She's failed out of high school for like 8 consecutive years.
Because you only get banned in like middle school, right? Starting in middle school.
Or if you're taking music lessons before you join band, you don't call it band.
You would not. No.
Right? Like band means a very specific thing. I thought that was weird. Maybe I misheard her. Maybe she said I'd spent 2 years in band. I don't know.
Maybe.
But like I said, it's very Stranger Things, these kids is kind of like going with their gut and their first influence or their first intuition, and it's going to be right. Or maybe they'll subvert it. Like, because like all this stuff is happening very, very early. Mm-hmm. So maybe you'll think that, and then like halfway through episode 4, the rug will get pulled out from underneath them. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I think we should get to episode 3.
Before we do, I want to point out. I got some stuff I want to point out. Joyce, as she tears ass out of her driveway, which is a Joyce Stranger Things tradition. No one gets this.
That's
Joyce brake AF. Pedals and gas pedals are binary devices in this universe. You get a good look at the most hideous license plate that has ever been created, the Wander Indiana license plate. This lime green, yellow, and or that like. It doesn't look good on any car.
Yeah.
Like, there's some license plates that are kind of rough on certain color combinations, but this thing is so fucking terrible. Oh, my God. It's the worst. And, as soon as I saw it, like, I had flashbacks and nightmares and my parents bitching about it and everybody hating it. Also, can you name a small to even mid-sized Indiana town that has a bus system, that has any form of mass transport whatsoever?
Certainly not that I had ever even considered using, if it was there at all.
I mean, Max has got the skateboard. Figure out a way to have Elle get a goddamn bicycle. And because, there's like even Indianapolis's bus system is a joke.
Yeah.
Like to have one in Hawkins, Indiana. I thought that was
in 1985.
In 1985, especially. Yeah. Yeah. Did you want to talk about. Any of the other, because like there's some phrases in the Russian stuff, the silver cat feeds.
Oh, yeah, the silver cat feeds when the blue meets yellow in the west.
I'm trying to think, blue meets yellow. Is that a reference to the Starcourt logo?
So this is something that we briefly touched on in the preview cast because it was sort of in a teaser trailer and it was on the poster for this season, or the key art, whatever it is. And people were trying to figure out what it meant. And on that poster, Elle and Mike are wearing blue and yellow. I don't know which is which, but one of them is wearing blue, one of them is wearing yellow. And they were kind of holding hands.
Yeah.
Right dead center in the poster. So I'm wondering if it has something to do with them, but I don't know what the Russians would intend this to mean. And maybe it's not important, you know, maybe the Russians just put this phrase in the kid's head and then the kids run with it. And blue and yellow in the West means something different to them.
Well, so I would totally buy that they're fixated on 11, because else why are they here? Although I guess they could just be trying to investigate the remains of Hawking's lab. The silver cat, I wonder if that, could that refer to the Russian agent himself? Could that refer to the mind flayers, goo? How much of this stuff did they know about? Those are the kind of open questions I got going forward.
And I suppose there's a possibility of blue and yellow meeting and creating green, but I don't know what the fuck that would mean.
What do you think the deal with them eating fertilizer is?
So this is weird because
is that
Billy
adding mass or
no? I think Billy, when he's in the lifeguard room, is like drinking ammonia or something. You see him.
Oh, is he really?
Put down a bottle of like a big bottle of chemicals, and behind him there's ammonia bottles. I don't know if he's drinking the ammonia,
oh,
but
oh, I thought he was drinking water.
What's in fertilizer? Nitrogen based stuff.
Pretty much,
like,
yeah, nitrogen. That's the big.
It's yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's drinking a bottle of nitrogen. That doesn't make any sense. So.
Yeah, it's very because I was thinking, like, you know, when I think of fertilizer, not in the context of like its proper use, fertilizing fields, I think of its use as making very high explosives bomb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are these creatures going to be capable of like detonating at will or some shit like that?
And they already turn inside out,
detonating
to create
at will. But boy, Will's going to have these facehuggers detonating all over him. They're going to be detonating on Will.
Yeah.
Speaking of Will. He's the odd man out again.
Yeah, that's his lot in life.
But I thought that they were going to take it a little easier on him. Like, that he could make, why not pair him? Why not have him and Dustin hang out? Because they're both the odd men out. They both would have I don't understand why they don't pair them up with the Chips Ahoy crew.
It's a problem to me that Will, as a kid in this show, does not have an identity.
Yeah.
I don't know who Will is because I've never seen Will.
He's always been missing or troubled.
Yeah, and it seems like Will is just a nerd who wants to play D&D as portrayed in this season.
Sure.
I don't have any other sense of him other than he's kind of scared. He's like very timid, sort of weak, like he's just a bundle of nerves. And I just want to understand Will. I want to know who Will is.
Yeah.
And I hope I get that this season.
It's interesting. Before we move on, I want to talk about the kids' relationships because I think it's interesting to see like Lucas passing on the advice that his father gave him last season, which essentially, hey, your woman's never wrong.
Uh-huh.
Always apologize. Always buy her something nice to keep her on her good side. And like now Lucas is trying to tutor that to Mike, except for Mike's at $3.50 to buy something nice for his girl. But then on the other side, you've got like, you know, Max giving her L garbage advice. Well, it's like, instead of asking and talking this thing through, he's treating you like garbage. So you're going to give him a taste of his own medicine and you're going to dump his ass. And then you find out that Lucas and her have been in this dump cycle 5 different times. It's just like, is this the type of show that's going to show these kids figuring out like the sane way to do a relationship? Or is this show just kind of like, look at how fucked up, like generationally fucked up the relationship between men and women are? And
I don't know if it's going to have any commentary other than to say that this is a plausible relationship between children. Because I feel like that's a thing that kids do.
Because it's all throughout the fucking, like, if you just grow up and watch television, the way they train you to behave in relationships is this way, which is nuts. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I was thinking, it's like, it's not gotten a lot better. I feel like people are kind of starting to wake up about that stuff, but no, it's... Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cute or pretty cool too.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm ready to go on to episode 3.
All right, let's do it. Do we have an outro?
Yeah, you can send us feedback if you've got some things that you want to talk about. The Stranger Things at baldmove.com. We're going to save all that stuff for next week when we do the wrap up podcast for the entire season. We've got one more episode they're going to release today for the third episode. You can also go to our forums, forums.baldmove.com. I've created 3 threads for episodes 1 through 3, 3 through 6, and then 7 through 8. If you get a little ahead of us, feel free to put your commentary there, and we'll be pulling from that too as well for our feedback and wrap-up podcast. Thanks for spending your July 4th with us. We'll be back for the third episode. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
See ya.